had you know, had some new people here, and I didn't want to do that. And you folks sing, and they you sing very well. Let's look at that thing, and I want Becca to play through it one time, and just look at it, and then we're going to sing it. Now, I know this is unusual at a camp meeting or a new meeting to sing a new song, but I would like Dillon Baptist Church to learn this song, and you folks can, some of you have already sung this before. I love this song. So I know you'll help. Let's stand. And I've never led it before. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Lord. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of man? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts will always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for Counselor, Comforter, King.
Yes, sir.
Offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost their way. Oh, lost the way. You are the one we pray. We adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, amen. In our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give our hearts always hunger for. Always
one more time on the chorus.
You are the one that we pray.
Did well, brother. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Y'all care if I take this off?
Nope. Go ahead.
Yeah. I Hallelujah, that's much better. I feel like I'm looking down at my notes like that. That's, man, I love that song. They sing it as a special at our church, and just about every time it's sung, somebody takes a lap around the building. I'm not joking. I know that'd freak a lot of people out, but we have a good time at church, amen? That song stirs me up, man. What a blessing. What a message we heard this morning. When it comes to ministering to people, that's probably some of the greatest advice you will ever hear that you heard this morning. You say, well, we didn't shout and run the aisles. Yeah, but you can help somebody. You can be a blessing instead of a burden. I don't want to re-preach it or add to it, but my goodness. While Brother Peacock was preaching or teaching this morning, I bet you 1,000 different instances ran through my head. Never fails. Somebody ODs on drugs or commit suicide. I'm there in the funeral home with the family, and some idiot church member, never fails, they'll walk up, tell me what happened. It's none of your business. They'll stand there and have a conversation. Wonder where they shot theirself. Shut up. Get that CD or go online and listen to that message over. That's not just for preachers. That's not just a pastoral message right there. That's not even taught in Bible school, man. Would to God it was. But that's for every one of us. I don't care who you are. You're going to have a friend, a relative, somebody going through a storm. And you can be a blessing or you can be a burden. Don't even open your Bible this morning because I don't read Scripture anyway. I apologized last night. I get excited. Amen. Lord shows up and something just starts bubbling up, man. And I forget what I'm supposed to do. My motto is let her rip, tater chip. Amen. When I was a kid, just a kid preacher, I went to my pastor when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, and I grew up in a country church. I mean, nobody went to Bible college. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Bible college. We're just backwoods, open the Bible and trust God, you know. And I went to my pastor and I said, preacher, I believe the Lord's called me to preach and I don't know what to do. Here's what he said. This was my pastoral counsel about preaching. He said, let her rip, tater chip. That's been 30-something years ago, and Brother David will tell you this day, the tag on my truck, my license plate on the back of my truck says, let her rip. I got pulled over by an officer one day, and he walked up to the side of the truck, and I had rolled through a stop sign. I was guilty. And he walked up to the side of the truck, and I rolled down the window, and he looked at me and grinned, and he said, really? Let her rip? I said, it don't mean what you think. I promise it's not what you think. I said, it means wide open. He said, that's kind of the way you were through that stop sign. Amen. Acts chapter number 28. I'm going to pick up where Brother David left off. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit, but it is something I feel like we need, especially in the day and the time we're living in. Y'all pray for me. I hadn't been to the bathroom since I got here. I'm a little confused about which one to go in. I preach against that stuff at my church. I'm kidding. I went back during the singing. I had to go. I said, Brother Dean, which one do I go in? I just found the outhouses in the parking lot, amen. I'm teasing Brother Hadman. You have to do what you have to do, amen. We had a thing going around our church. It says, I'm trying to remember how it went. It had the symbols, you know, the men's restroom, the ladies' restroom, then the handicap. And it says, if you belong in this restroom but you go in that restroom, you're going to need this restroom, the handicap. Amen. I feel like I'm at home. I can say that. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 28. Boy, I'm excited about Brother Tony getting here. He is big time. That's what we call him. That's his name, big time. Y'all do me a favor. After Brother Tony gets through preaching, is it tomorrow morning? I think he'll be preaching. No, tomorrow night he'll be preaching. When he gets done, just tell him, say, Brother, that was great preaching, but you should have heard Brother Eddie and Brother Dave. That'll help Brother Tony. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 28. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes this morning. We'll go to lunch. I'm going to preach to you about the danger of building a fire. The danger of building a fire. The Bible said in verse number 1, look, I'm reading scripture. Write it down, Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie read his text. I got in all kind of trouble last night. I told you what it was. Y'all can read. Amen. If you didn't get it, it was Galatians 2:20. Verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. The Bible said in verse number 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. The danger of building a fire. I grew up in the country. We grew up with wood heat. I'm accustomed to building a fire. I like fire. Anybody else? I tell my wife, do not throw away a box. I collect boxes and I get enough boxes. She said, won't you burn them boxes? Ain't enough yet. I wait till I got a pile about the size of that piano and I build me a bonfire. I just always something comforting about a fire, just being around the fire. I've got central heat, got central air and all that stuff, but I love just to get out in the backyard and we got a fire pit and put some wood in that fire pit and just sit out there by the fire. I enjoy that. I enjoyed fire when I was a little boy, but fire can get you in trouble. I grew up on a farm. We raised Hereford cattle, and we cut hay every year and put hay in the loft of the barn. And one winter, the hay had gotten down low enough to where there was enough room. I could take the hay bales. It was the regular 80-pound bales, not them great big things. And I stacked those hay bales up in the barn, and I even took some 2x6s and put across the top of them. And then I put more hay on top of that. I built me a fort. I even had windows in my fort. It was the coolest thing you'd ever seen in your life. I only had one problem. I couldn't see in there. It was dark. You know where I'm going. So I went in the house and got one of Granny's big candles. And I took it up there to my fort, made out of hay. I had light. And I played in that fort and played in that fort. Well, one day my grandfather got up there to feed the cows, and the only hay that was left in the barn was my fort. So he had to start taking my fort apart, and when he found that candle, something else caught on fire. I won't say it, but Brother David will. He lit my rear end up. Because you don't take candles in the hay barn. Amen. I like fire. These people came to shore, and if there was anything they needed, it was a fire. Do you imagine how it would have been if this had happened in the South? They would have greeted them with some sweet tea. They didn't need ice water. They didn't need Gatorade. They didn't need sweet tea. These people, they said they were because of the cold and because of the rain. I picture them shaking. I picture their lips blue, almost to a state of hypothermia. And these barbarous people did the greatest thing for them that they could. They built them a fire. Sometimes a fire can stand between life and death. A fire will keep you from freezing to death. Would you agree with me? These people needed a fire. I believe when they got to shore, they were appreciative of the fire. In my observation, this world's getting mighty dark and mighty cold. If there's anything they need a fire. I know we have cultural differences, and it's different in Georgia on the buckle of the Bible Belt than it is in Missoula or Kalispell or Dillon or Bozeman or California. California, oh my soul. Y'all pray for Brother Fisher. I killed a spider right there. Amen. This world needs a fire. I don't care what the culture is, what the background is, they need a fire. We've got enough religion to kill a dead horse. Amen. It wasn't long ago we remodeled our house and my wife had the bright idea we needed a fireplace in our bedroom. I said, honey, it ain't happening. She said, oh, but it would be so romantic. I said, let me see what I can do. Remember, I told you she's hot. So I'm trying to figure out what it's going to take to penetrate the roof and, you know, get some gas logs or a real fireplace in our bedroom. She wants it. I'm going to do it. She said it was romantic. So I'm at Home Depot, my home away from home. And I'm walking down by over where usually the lawnmowers and all that stuff is. And I'm walking by and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There was a fireplace. I'm talking about beautiful. It's about this wide and about that tall. I mean, pretty mantelpiece. I mean, just a beautiful piece of furniture. I bought it. I said, baby, I got your fireplace. I don't think it's what she had in mind. But it even came with a remote. I'm laid up in the bed, and I said, look here, baby. I'm going to build you a fire. Poof. I said, ain't that romantic? She said, yeah. It looks like fire. Are y'all listening to me? It ain't nothing but a orange light and one of them Mylar balloons chopped up. And it just sits there and flickers like that. And it's pretty, man. But it ain't no fire. Are y'all staying with me this morning? I'm going to preach real fast, but you listen to me. This world don't need a false fire. I'm going to tell you, they don't need a Home Depot fireplace that you plug in the wall and poof with your little remote control, but that's what churches are doing today. They're trying to put out a false fire. We need a church that's on fire for God. Dillon, Montana needs a church that's on fire for God. Missoula, Montana needs a church that's on fire for God. You say, we ain't never going to act like y'all do down in the South. I ain't talking about how you act. I'm talking about the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We need Him. I'm not against education. Not against it. Not against a good Bible education. But you can't be taught some things. Are you listening? Oh, we got to get our people excited. We got to get our people fired up. I know what we need. We need a band. No, we need God. We need a praise and worship team. No, we need God. Amen. I had a guy call me, and I won't even say what state he was in, and he said, Brother Eddie, I heard you preach at a teen camp, and he said, I wonder if you'd come preach in my church. I said, sure. He said, but I need to tell you something. I said, what is it, preacher? He said, we're Baptist. I said, okay. He said, but I just took this church, and I'm trying to lead them gently. He said, the music's not quite what you would agree with. I said, well, that's all right. I can deal with it. I'll come preach to you people. I'll try my best to be a help. What he didn't tell me was that he had a guy in his church got saved who was a member of a honky-tonk band. And one by one, he led his band members to the Lord, and they all joined the church. And they came to the previous pastor and said, we want to do something for God, but all we know how to do is pick and sing. And the preacher told them, pick and sing. They said, we don't know no gospel songs. He said, y'all will figure something out. First night of the meeting, I'm sitting on the front row about where Brother Peacock is, and I hear, down, 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 Sweet Home Alabama. I ain't lying. And they're singing, Sweet Home Up in Heaven, and everybody's like this. I just pulled my phone off my side and dialed my wife. I could hear her little voice laying on the pew beside me. Where are you? Where are you? Then they sung, I Got a Peaceful, Easy Feeling. Listen, man. We got enough of the world in the world. When it comes to the house of God, we need the presence and the power of God. That song we sang just before I got up to preach, that's what we need. That's got a touch of God on it. Amen. I'm trying to be nice, but I've been in these places where they have these college tour groups. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not against them. I'm lying. I'm lying through my teeth. You won't ever see a fat boy with bad hygiene in a tour group. You'll never see a girl with buck teeth so bad she could eat corn on the cob through a picket fence in a college tour group. They get the prettiest people they got, and they go, hi, I'm Buffy. And they sing and they look at one another. And bleh! Got all the talent in the world. Got all, let me say it again. They got all the talent in the world. Brother Larry Brown preached one time at the Southwide Fellowship. First time the man ever been there in his life. He's crazy. I'm talking about, you think me and Brother David? No, Brother Brown's certifiable. He gets up at the Southwide Fellowship and he said, I want to preach to you tonight on necrophilia. Romancing the dead. He looked at that choir and he said, man, y'all got it going on. He said, all them robes is looking fine. Y'all got your oohs where your oohs go and your ahs where your ahs go. He said, but pucker up, baby. You smooching on a corpse. What I'm trying to say, you don't have to be talented to be real. Amen. Well, some people looking at me cross-eyed. I'm going to say it again. I thank God for talent. Thank God for the piano playing we've had this week, sis. That's been wonderful. Thank God for talent. Thank God. I've been in some churches where they can't sing a lick. And then you got to get up and try to preach behind it. But I'd rather have a little old gray-haired granny who sings a little bit off-key and got a touch of God on her. And when she sings, you feel the Spirit of the Lord. Are y'all with me? These people didn't need a show. They did not need entertainment. They needed the fire of God to fall. You know what this world's looking for? They're tired of phony baloney religion. Hey, they want to see something real, something that'll save their marriage, something that'll keep their children out of jail. Hey, we need a fire. The problem with it, number one, is the deed of building a fire. The deed of building a fire takes work. Takes work. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot teach it in a school. Are you listening? I talked to a boy who one time he came to my church. He visited and he was from out of state. I had preached in his church and he had went off to Bible school. And on his way home from Bible school, he stopped by my church. I got done preaching that morning. He said, Brother Eddie, I love you with all my heart. He said, but you'd have failed my preacher's class flat on your face this morning. I said, why? He said, you put your hands in your pocket. What? He said, oh yeah, they teach us you don't put your hands in your pocket. They tell you when to raise your hand. And I said, man, that'd make a maggot puke on a gut wagon, man. You can't teach a man how to preach. Well, got quiet again. That's a calling. It's a gift of God. It can be built upon and you will learn as you go. You can be taught the Bible. But you can't be taught the gift. We okay, Brother Havner? These people needed a fire. But the problem with it is, it takes work. It takes somebody on their face, talking to the Lord on their face in this book. I appreciate my kids that sing at church. My daughter and my son-in-law, they're pretty much in charge of our music. They pray about what they're going to sing. I don't tell them. Every now and then I'll say, hey, if it's all right, y'all do this or do that. I'll just let them alone. They seek God for what to do. I was telling Brother Haddon another night at our church. Brother David's been there several times. During our services, we have more people in the altar before the preaching than we do after the preaching. I'm saying I don't care where we're from, what our culture is, we need the fire of God. But the problem with the fire of God is it takes work. It takes somebody who knows God. Amen. There's a crowd out in this world today. They're playing church. They don't know God. Amen. If the Holy Ghost showed up, it'd scare them to death. Amen. I was preaching in a church one night. Our youth choir was singing. I had about 70 kids standing on this man's platform. And they were singing their hearts out. And people started coming to the altar. I was watching that preacher, Brother Peacock. He was sitting on the platform. He had crossed that leg. And he was wiping his head. He's sweating bullets, man. He didn't know what to do. This little girl came to the altar, and one of my teenagers went down there and met her in the altar, and she started praying with her. The little girl told her she wanted to be saved. Preacher got off his chair, came down there and said, honey, you've already been saved. I baptize you. You're a member of this church. Go back to your seat. Needless to say, I've never preached there again, and our youth choir ain't never been back either. I want our children to grow up accustomed to the presence of God, accustomed to seeing people go pray and take their burdens to the Lord, accustomed to seeing people get emotional, tears run down their face. I'm tired of people saying, all down south, y'all just emotional. Yeah, we are. Woo! That's an emotion. Yes, that's an emotion. Hallelujah. Is that emotional? Come on. I got excited while they were singing. I got emotional. So did some of you critical people. That's just a bunch of show. I wouldn't allow that in my church. No, you like the other end of that emotion. You crab. We all right? You don't have to be emotional, but don't criticize me when I get happy. Amen. Hey man, I get happy, I get a case of the can't help it. Hey man, I just can't help it. Something got to come out. They said, little girl in Sunday school said, teacher, if I'm so small and Jesus is so big and he lives inside of me, won't he poke out somewhere? I've been waiting all week on him to poke out on y'all somewhere. It's all right to get excited. It's all right to have a good time. These people needed a fire. They was cold and wet. They didn't need a Sunday school lesson. They didn't need a devotional. They needed a fire. Amen. The deed of building a fire. Listen, Brother Tony says this all the time. We're not charismatic, but we are automatic. I'm going to say it again. We're not charismatic, but we are automatic. You get to singing songs like we just sung a while ago, it's automatic. Something's coming out of me. Something inside my spirit bears witness with that spirit. And before I know it, I'm about to have a time, honey. I started running up here and click my heels while they're singing, man. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. The deed of building a fire. But then I want you to notice the danger of building a fire. Here's why most churches don't want a fire. They're happy just like they are. I preach in some churches, Brother David, with the same people for 20 years. I'm talking about the same people. The only adage to the church is people who've had a child. They're totally happy with what they got. They're totally happy with the status quo. A visitor come in, especially one that don't look quite right. A visitor come in, they're all like, who is that? You know what? There ain't no telling what you'll see at my church. I'm telling you, honest to God truth, ain't no telling. I had a man just a few months ago come in the back door, come in late. He couldn't just slip in the back and sit down. He had on leather chaps. I ain't talking about cowboy chaps. I'd have said, yes, sir, come sit on platform. Amen. He had on them black leather biker chaps, biker boots, biker vest, had a do-rag on his head. walked all the way down while the choir was singing, sat down right there on the front row. You say, man, what'd your people do? It's normal. It's normal. I preach the gospel. He walked down the altar. One of our men got down there and took a Bible and led him to the Lord. He kept coming to church with his chaps, with his vest, and his do-rag. Next thing I know, no chaps. Still got the vest and the do-rag. Then the vest went. And I was like, Lord, get the do-rag. Get the do-rag. He didn't need to hear my rules. Are y'all okay? I'm going to say it again. He didn't need to hear my rules. He just needed to hear my Savior. He just needed to feel the touch and the presence of God. Rules will run you off, but love will run you down. The danger of building a fire. Listen, they built a fire. There's a problem. There's a snake in it. They said a viper come out. That wasn't talking about a hot rod Dodge. I was talking about a venomous beast. You know what I'm figuring? It's in there the whole time. There's probably a snake in here too. There's one in most churches I go to, if not a whole bed of them. And as long as they ain't no fire, they'll lay dormant. You know, they won't even hiss. Psst. They'll lay there just as quiet. Devil don't mind a dead church. Dead church don't buy. A church where sinners ain't welcome, devil don't mind that one little bit. Don't bother him, but you build a fire. You build a fire. You get a bunch of teenagers on. Our teenagers went to camp, our camp, and then they went and helped out in Alabama at another man's camp. I'm telling you, that bunch is, Brother David, you need to come by. They wound up tighter than Bessie Buck. I can't preach for them testifying, shouting and screaming, and then here's my snakes. It won't last. I give them about 3 weeks. Won't you shut up? Amen. You know what people ought to do when they see a little fire? Brother, they ought to say, woo, you go on, young people. You go on. You shout for Jesus. You go ahead and praise the Lord. Hey, let me throw some more wood in there. Hey, if you build a fire, the snake is coming out. You get somebody a little excited about Jesus, somebody going to criticize it. I don't know if I'll... One preacher asked me one time, preacher, here's what he said. He said, you reckon all that shouting at your church is real? I said, probably not. I said, you reckon all that sleeping at your church is real? Some of them churches, man, they got all the rules, they got all the regulations, but they ain't got no fire. It's so dry the catfish got ticks on them. I'm talking about dry, man, dry. Y'all all right? They do their little duty. They play their little church game. But man, if God ain't there, we're wasting our time. We might as well go fishing, amen? The danger of building the fire. When he built a fire, the snake came out. It was in there all along. Listen. He said, well, I'm tired of all the trouble and all the... Man, if the devil ain't fighting you, you ain't doing nothing. My grandpa used to say, son, if they're kicking you in the tail, you must still be out front. Amen. Somebody said, you have trouble at your church? Piles of it. I get nervous when there ain't nothing going on. If I ain't dealing with problems here and here and here and this ain't happening and that ain't happening, everything's just peace and still and calm, I'm like, uh-oh. I better preach hard. I better do something. Amen. You do something for God, you're going to fight the devil. You get the fire started in this town, brother. You know what people will do? People start coming in here and getting saved, Brother Habman. You know what they'll say in town? I bet that's just a bunch of wildfire. Wonder what's going on there. That ain't nothing but a cult. They brainwashing them teenagers. Have you seen them? Have you seen them? They wear dresses. Y'all don't die on me. I'm going to teach you a valuable lesson. You gotta know Greek and Hebrew and go to Bible school and get an associate's degree, then you gotta get your bachelor's degree, and then you gotta get your doctor's degree before you can figure this out. So I'm gonna try to help you this morning. If you build a fire, Now listen, the snake's going to come out. And if you build a fire, you're going to get bit. And the more closer you are to the fire, if you're just an offside bystander and you ain't doing nothing, you're probably safe. But if you're helping and building the fire, Paul gathered some sticks and was adding. The fire was already there. He didn't build it. They built it for him. He was just adding wood. He got close to the fire and he got bit. Well, preacher, we used to go to church. We ain't mad. I know Brother David's heard this. You've probably heard this. Preacher, we're not mad. We're just hurt. Brother Hammond, you ever heard that one? Preacher, I promise it ain't nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with you. We love the church and everything, but there's just some people. They put something on Facebook and we just... Y'all all right? You build a fire, you're going to get bit. I keep them teenagers, Brother David, tell you, I got a pile of them. We try to keep them on fire and excited about God. You know who I have the most trouble with? It ain't them. It's the mamas and daddies. Them kids will have a problem. I tell them parents, leave them alone. You give them kids a day or two, they'll get an altar together and get it right. But you get two mamas involved, you split a church. Amen. You build a fire, you get close to it, you get involved, you get excited about God, you're going to get bit. Now here I'm fixing to teach you that deep, deep, deep doctrinal thing. I'm going to show you what Paul did when he got bit. Hold your hand right up here with me just like this. Here's something you better learn as a Christian or you're going to die. If you're going to get around the fire of God and the power of God, if you don't learn this deep doctrinal secret, you're going to die. Are you with me? What happened when the viper fastened on his hand? The Bible said he shook it off. Shake it off. Hey, somebody's got bit. Somebody's bitter this morning. Somebody's feelings are hurt. You need to throw your little hurt hand in the air and just shake it off. By the grace of God. Preacher asked me the other day, he said, how in the world have you pastored the same church for 28 years? I got carpal tunnel from shaking it off. I get bit every time I turn around. I got a church full of vipers. Y'all all right? And I guarantee you ain't nary one of you won't admit to being one. But we can spot you. We can hear your little tail rattle. Danger of building a fire. You build a fire, you get around it, you're going to get bit. But you better learn how to shake it off. I said there's a D to building a fire. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes seeking God. I ain't talking about finding a little sermon on the internet at 11:30 on Saturday night. I'm talking about praying and seeking God. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. It takes work. It takes work. You got to preach hard sometimes. You can't just entertain people all the time. I love to be entertained. Y'all probably won't even have me back. I love bluegrass gospel music. Some of our best friends in the ministry is the Rochester family, and they come to our church once or twice a year. They picking banjos. Old Ben. Ben can play anything with strings on it. He plays some things that ain't got strings. He can choke a harp to death, son. I ain't talking about one of them. I'm talking about a harmonica. That boy's got talent. I believe that's the kind of music we'll have in heaven. Amen. Well, if you don't like it, that's all right. But I'm driving around in my truck. I got that. It come with that Sirius radio. And it's serious. It's got a bluegrass station. Amen. Entertainment only goes so far. But man, we need God. In the day we're living in, I believe it's the last days, preacher. I'm looking for him. I know every preacher before me, all down through the years, Paul was looking for him. John was looking for him. John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. They've been looking for him, but I'm really looking for him. Last two verses in your Bible. Even so, come Lord Jesus. You know what verses that is? 20 and 21. Suit me fine. Somebody said, that's a coincidence. I don't care what it is. It suit me. I'd like to just bypass Delta anyway and meet my baby in the air. Amen. Yes. Give you his last thing. We'll go eat lunch. I said, there's a deed to building a fire. There's a danger in building a fire. Now watch this. This is my last point. If you get bit, don't swell up. We could change this world with a bunch of Baptists that won't swell up. I preach in some churches, they ought to change their name to Swole Up Baptist Church. You'll preach your guts out, I'm sweating, I can pour water out of my sock by the time I'm through, and they sit there the whole time. They look constipated. Oh, if he said hemorrhoiding. Menopause? I told my wife he said that. She said, no, he didn't. People sit in church look like they're in pain. Swole up. What are you? Let me ask you a question. What you swole up about?
Right.
You still got the snake hanging on, ain't you? You still dragging that viper around with you. That's your problem. You know what everybody's doing? They waiting to see if you're just going to die. That's what the Bible said. They watched when he should have swollen or fell dead suddenly. Isn't that what it said?
Yep.
Kind of freaked them out when there wasn't no harm. Well, I can't believe they went through all that and stayed. Maybe they learned how to shake it off. The deed of building a fire. Go home, go to work. Go home, go to work. Roll your sleeves up. Rear back. Preach. Sing your heart out.
Yes.
Pray for the presence and the power of God in every service, every Sunday school lesson, every children's ministry. Pray. We need the presence of God and we need the fire of God. It takes work. The deed of building a fire, the danger of building a fire, it's got consequences. The devil won't just sit back and let you enjoy your fire. He's going to stick his ugly head up. You're going to get bit. Shake it off. I know this is deep stuff. You had deep stuff a while ago. Don't swell up. Say, you know what? I got done wrong. I got talked about. I know that wasn't right. But bless God, I'm not serving them. I'm serving Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, we got hurt. We're going to find another church. You know what you're going to find? If you find another church that's on fire, they got snakes too. Anytime you get in the business of serving God, you're going to get bit. I've been bit so many times. I don't go nowhere without a snake bite kit. This old 1611 King James Bible. I may be preaching somebody that swole up already this morning. Maybe you'll just gather around this altar and say, God, help me not swell up. Help me to shake this bitterness off, this unforgiveness off. Help me to shake this malice off this morning. Lord, help me to remember that I'm serving you. I know we serve people and we minister to people, but hey, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I like it when it's hot. I like it when the kids get so full of God they don't know what to do themselves. They come to the altar 5 times in the service.
Amen.
Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Somebody told me one time, said, you're not let them little kids go to the altar. They don't mean business, they're playing. I said, You let them come. You let them come and play. One of these days they'll need God, and they'll remember somebody told them, you don't go to that altar. One of these days they'll come and they'll mean business. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, thank you for the great, great message. Some of the best advice I've ever heard this morning from Brother Peacock. Lord, help us not to just hear it, God, but to be doers of what we heard. Lord, thank you for the fire of God that burns in my soul. And Lord, I pray just as such a simple message, maybe even a little silly this morning, but Lord, what a truth. What a truth. We get around where the fire of God is, we're going to get bit. Lord, help us to shake it off and don't swell up. Lord, there's somebody sitting here this morning hurt. I pray you'd help them this morning. Lord, to shake off whatever it is, whatever harm's been done by the brethren. Father, I pray you'd help them to get over that snake bite this morning. Have your way, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
I was looking for you. He's right there.
Number 162.